I want to talk from the thought of meeting the collective need. Meeting the collective need. Meeting the collective need. We'll start off with a statement that's real simple. Ministry is not a one-dimensional thing. It's not one-dimensional by any stretch of the imagination. Matter of fact, if ministry was a television, it would be at minimum a 10D TV. Notice I didn't go into 3D, 4D. Reason is because there's so many facets to ministry.
Yes, sir.
We have allowed the crazy idea, the insane idea, that ministry is limited to this. We have created this idea that ministry looks like garments and vestments and degrees and all this extra stuff. The truth is, ministry comes in so many shapes, forms, and sizes that we have to realize that we have to be aware all the time that there are opportunities to minister everywhere. Don't get me wrong, the preached word is necessary. The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach unless that preacher be sent? There is the necessity for teaching because the Lord teaches us that teaching is a gift of the Spirit. But what about that whole thing about presence? You know that idea of actually sitting with somebody without telling them what to do? That's ministry. You know, a couple weeks ago I engaged in some ministry myself. Well, some personal ministry that was given to me. You know what it was? It was going to the Funny Bone and seeing Ricky Smiley. Made me laugh so hard that I sweated as I left the building. Laughter is a ministry.
Amen.
Gifts of help. Giving. All types of things. There's ministry everywhere. The interesting thing about this idea is that sometimes we are not always aware when ministry comes. That is why, for this moment in time today, I want to reduce the idea to a different word called need. Folk got needs. Amen. I got a 5-year-old growing out of this world. My needs are financial. My needs are in the forms of food because he's going to eat me out of house and home. My needs are the need for more patience and more, you know, I got needs raising a 5-year-old. Everybody in here got a need somewhere. Some of us need to be nicer to folk. Some of us need to be in better positions to do the things of God. Some of us need to take steps towards doing great things. Everybody got a need. In the text, there were a gang of needs that were happening. Think about this. Jesus was hanging with the disciples. They got on the boat after doing ministry prior. He said, hey, let's go somewhere because y'all need to sit down and chill out. He had tired disciples that needed some rest. So he was trying to meet a need. Let's go to a place that's away from here. But they got on the boat. They went to a place and they thought they had gotten far enough to be in a desolate place or in a different place. But suddenly, that need got overridden by a different need. And the different need was all these people started coming to the shore looking for Jesus. Because Jesus had started to preach something that they've needed for a long time. And when you start to get a taste of the real thing, you kind of can't go back on, you know, anything else, right? That'd be like going to Jenny's and eating vanilla ice cream for the first time and realizing you ain't had vanilla ice cream for real until you had it there. Because the ingredients are different and it just tastes so much different. It's like going to a steakhouse and having a steak done just the way you really want it because they are professionals and they know what to do. You'll never go back to Ponderosa ever again. It's just like actually buying Gucci for real and knowing you never have to go to the flea market to get the knockoff ever again. When you have the real thing, you go to the ends of the earth to go after it. So they go to the shore and they're seen by Jesus, and Jesus looks at them as sheep without a shepherd. They look like lost roaming sheep that have no shepherd to look after them. He stopped what he was doing, said we got to change course because there's some people out here. They come back. Jesus starts teaching. They sit down. They start listening. They're gaining something for their souls. But in the midst of that, you know, like anything else, after a period of time, you get hungry. That's why sometimes we try our best not to make church last long, because guess what? There comes a breaking point. Amen. We can shout all day, but eventually your stomach's going to say, all right, it's enough of that. Make some reservations. Let's go. He saw the 5,000 men. That's not including women and children. Disciples saw the same thing. They said, they hungry. What you gonna do about it? And he kind of looked at them like, what you gonna do about it? You see the need. Do something about it. And they made the suggestion, well, let's just send them home. Not a bad decision. But when you have a need for something in your spirit and you're willing to stay that and negate your own hunger, it gets deep. So Jesus says, okay, I don't want them to go home. They don't look like they want to go home. What do we got? Wesley, I'm telling our story over the last year plus. what do we got? That's what Jesus said. What do we got? This story is told in different gospels, so you know this part. They search around. They find out that there was a boy that had a little fish snack. Had a two-piece and some rolls and... Yeah, two-piece and some rolls. You see where I'm going? Jesus took that little box lunch, stared at it, and said, okay. The only person in the whole group that was confident with this little bit was Jesus. And he said, okay, we're going to take this little bit. He prayed and he gave this little bit back to his disciples, said, all right, get them seated, pass it around. What you talking? Okay. He prayed over this little bit, because you never read this story and you never see in the story written by any of the authors. You have never read where it said, and when Jesus blessed it, it multiplied instantly. You ain't never read that, right? Never saw it, right? It ain't in the text, is it? No. He prayed over what was there and gave it to them as it was. And said, sit them down and pass it around. He sat them down, passed it around, and somehow It turned into leftovers for 12 baskets. Now, y'all are probably waiting on me to say something extremely profound in this moment, but can we just marinate on the fact that God took, through Jesus Christ, took a two-piece fish lunch, which may amount to no more than a fish sandwich, depending on where you go and get your fish. He sat with it, blessed it, prayed over it, and gave it back to 12 guys, told them to organize everybody to be seated, and told them, pass it around. And 5,000 men, not including women and children, were fed. That don't make any logical sense. But it happened. Which means to me that Jesus is teaching us something. When you focus on the ministry or the need over what you got, God always shows up. Too many people are focused on what they have and what they think they have as being lack, and not focusing on the mission, which is what God called us to. I'm going to say that again. Y'all may want to write this down. This is actually decent stuff. People focus on what they have and consider it to be lacking more so than the mission or the ministry that you're actually called to. Because if I focus on what I think I lack, I'm able to come up with every excuse as to why I can't do. Jesus said, you need to feed them. They said, well, how are we going to do this? And Jesus said, what you got? And they brought him back what they thought was lack. And in his hands became much. And they don't know how it happened, but it kept on replenishing itself until there was overflow. Because the goal in that moment was not to prove whether or not you have abundance. It was to prove whether or not you were observant enough to say, we're going to do what we got to do to meet the need. Church, we still got to meet needs. We are not here just to do for ourselves. We are called and planted here to meet needs, wait for it, that other people can't meet. And if you don't believe me, let me call again to the person that we call on in the United Methodist Church named John Wesley. Your parish is where you're planted, which means that we are planted at 2935 Bulin Avenue between Bulin, Fairwood, and Watkins. And everything that is surrounding it, guess what, church, is our parish. And there are needs that have to be met in our parish that go not just with those that come, but with those that have not come yet. Because Jesus shows us again that people that were seeking him were sheep without a shepherd. Which means that everybody we're supposed to minister to ain't in here yet. So we got to be able to recalibrate ourselves and see what the needs are. There are three needs we need to meet. That's a part of the collective. Ready? First one, there's an immediate need. An immediate need. Every person that comes across our path always has, at minimum, an immediate need. Something that is pressing beyond anything else. Okay? Some people will not come to church not because of the church. I'm about to break some myths. Some folk won't come to church because of how they get treated at church. No. Some folk don't come because they are overly concerned about other things that actually affect their life. Think about the person that's working today. There are a lot of people working on Sundays because they have to meet the needs of bills that have to be paid. But they would rather be in the church house and not working that job, and they haven't found a way out. Stay with me. There are people that have immediate needs, like they're concerned that because of their personal condition, folk might not accept them. So they are questioning whether or not they are able to come into a space. Has nothing to do with you, but it has something to do with their concerns about their own mental, emotional health. Has something to do with how they feel about themselves. Everybody ain't coming to church. Ain't coming to church because of stuff going on in the church. There are needs that need to be met. There are people that are sad that are struggling to get up in the church, and they need someone to say, you know what, I love you and God does too. Somebody needs to see a smiling face. They've been dealing with a bunch of crazy people for 6 or 7 days in a row at work. Immediate needs. Do you know how much it costs you to actually hug somebody and say, you know what, you're all right with me? Not one cent. Do you know how much it costs to actually sit with somebody that you don't know? Uh-oh. To sit with a stranger and say, you know what, I'm glad you're here. Jesus turned off his original plans because the initial immediate need was there were people gathering, seeking out something they have been searching for their entire lives, and he had it. And he came back because they were sheep without a shepherd. Don't despise what you think may not be a need, because you don't know what that person has been waiting on all their lives. Y'all have heard me say it, and I've been saying it because I've been praying it for myself. Lord, help me to be an answer to somebody's prayer. Because you never know why you're positioned at a moment to be in somebody's life, whether it's for 5 seconds or 5 minutes or five. You don't know why you're there, but sometimes God may have sent you by as an answer to somebody's prayer. We have to be a people ready to meet what? Some immediate needs. But number two, there's a spiritual need. Once he came back, he started preaching and teaching. I've been loving this quote that I've been paraphrasing for the last few weeks. I love it. One of my favorite thinkers and one of my favorite theologians, James Cone, said, "Preacher, pastor, preach in such a way," this is a paraphrase, "preach in such a way that you lose your members to Jesus."
Come on.
I'm going to keep on quoting that until I can't quote it no more. "Preacher, pastor, preach until you lose your members to Jesus." Here's why I say that. Because the thing about it is, after a while, listen, there are a lot of preachers. I know some preachers that can blow everything out this water, okay? And I love listening to them. My God, every once in a while I want to say, can I save up my pennies to get them here just so they can blow the roof off so we can go into a building fund so we can rebuild this joker? I know all kind of preachers, all kind of stuff, but guess what? There's a reason why there's so many of us, because there's a spiritual need that needs to be met. There are people that need to hear the gospel everywhere. But don't you know that it's not just limited to the preacher, but everybody that knows Jesus for themselves has a word in them that can help somebody? The challenge that they had was that they weren't getting something from a place they were supposed to get it from. They weren't getting it from the temple. They weren't getting it from the synagogue. They were tired of hearing the same old nonsense that didn't look like or sound like the God that they served. And here comes Jesus. challenging everything, looking in the temple and seeing how they treated it. My father's house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Looking at all these priests that were living great and living the high life, and somehow were keeping people that needed an encounter with God in the outer place where they needed to be in the inner place, so they were able to worship, but they wouldn't let them worship because they were either sick or lame or something else. So if you ain't going to let me do it here, and I heard that God actually cares about all the things you don't care about, let me find that. That's what the church is up against right now. And I don't think anybody has really said it this clear. I don't know for sure. But the church is up against the challenge of, there are people that have spiritual needs that are tired of being rejected from the opportunity to encounter God in a real sense. And if we keep blocking people from a real encounter, how are you going to experience change? Let me say it a different way. They said there was 5,000 men that came to the shore. We know that it wasn't just the men. There were women, there were children, there were all kind of people that were there. Right? There's a reason they came there. They came there because they were tired. They were tired of being in a position where they were not being seen, heard, empowered, or equipped. Folk don't come here to hear or see how intelligent I am. They don't come here to see a fashion show. They come because they want to see God in real ways. They want to hear God in ways that are not conventional. They want to hear that God cares about their health, their wealth, their mind, their emotions, yes, sir. Their soul. Yes, sir. Who wants to serve a God that's only concerned about one aspect of your life? That ain't God. That's somebody's interpretation. But the God I serve cares about all of it. Cares about your tears at night. Cares about the fact that you've been struggling in an area in your life and wants to fix it. Cares that if you're unable to get up, that God wants you to get up on your feet again. Cares about you. Jesus turned around because he looked at them as sheep without a shepherd, and he cared that those sheep would be tended to over the convenience of handling just himself. And the last thing that's at need is the discipleship need. Listen. They're hungry, Lord. Well, you address it. The way it was supposed to work was, okay, if you've learned anything about me, you find a way to address the need. But apparently, they still hadn't reached that place. So, Jesus said, teaching moment, come on back, let's figure this out. What do we have? We got this little boy's two-piece. All right, pray, thank you, amen. Here's what you do. You sit them down in groups, and as you sit them down in orderly groups, take what we have and begin to pass it around. The disciples needed to be taught, just like the people needed to be taught. Here's the need that was being met. Rather than Jesus just go off the end and say, y'all are useless to me, let me get it done, He said, all right, I realize you can't handle all this yet. So let me help you so that you're able to do it further. Do y'all know what a disciple really means? You know the word disciple? It aligns itself more with the word apprentice. Say apprentice. Apprentice. Somebody who is learning in order to become a master. An apprentice learns in order to become a master. You cannot become a master unless you learn from a master. You can't help nobody unless you learn from somebody that knows how to help somebody. You can't be a blessing to somebody until you're around somebody that knows how to bless people. You see where I'm going with this? The need is, we 12 guys, they've been hanging with them, but they still didn't know how to execute. And Jesus said, I'm going to teach you how to do it. First, you pray. And you pray over what you got. You don't complain about what you don't have. You pray over what you got. Let me say it again, because I'm not going to let this go. Stop complaining about what you don't have and pray over what you got. Because whatever you got is going to be enough. And when you pray over what you have, guess what happens? Okay, now take what you got that you prayed over, get everything in order, that's preparation, prepare everybody for what's coming, and then take what you got that's blessed by me and begin to use it. And when you begin to use it, watch what I'm about to do. I'm going to bless your little bit and make it much. Y'all about to miss the best part. But after God blesses your little and makes it much, he'll bless the much that was created from the little and make that much, much. Let me prove my point. Because after they were fed, there was 12 baskets full after everybody was fed. God will supply all your needs and then advance you into be able to bless somebody else's life even when you didn't think you had enough. So somebody in here needs to gather this. Stop worrying about what you ain't got. Everybody got a need. You got a need. I got a need. Everybody got a need. But let God show you how to work it. Because when God shows you how to work it, you're going to be able to pray over what you got. You're going to be able to see what you have. You're not going to worry about what you don't have. You're going to keep on pressing with what you got. And then when God takes what you have and begins to bless it, he will multiply it, make it much, and you'll be able to bless more than enough. You'll be able to bless those that you didn't see coming. You'll be able to bless in the city, bless in the field, bless in your coming in, bless in your going out. You'll be able to bless folks that you don't see yet, because God will extend you beyond your wildest dreams. Because you're focused on meeting the collective need. So, don't leave out of here today with the attitude that you ain't got enough. Don't leave out of here talking about who didn't do what. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Don't walk out of here talking about what you think somebody ought to do for you. What you got? Well, I don't know. I've been waiting on other people. No, what do you have? This is all I have. But I trust you. And let God take that you entrust him with. Can I give you a quick view to the Last Supper one more time? Because I don't want to say no words over it. I'll say them now in the midst of this sermon. You ready for this? Jesus has a tendency to bless broken pieces. I wasn't supposed to go here, but this is for somebody to hear. God blesses broken pieces. So what he did was he blessed it, and it was what? Now take this, break it, and keep on breaking. It don't look like much, but keep on breaking. God has a tendency of taking broken pieces and multiplying out of what? Your broken pieces. Don't worry about what you don't have. Worry about what you got, because then God will. God will supply your need in order to meet a need. Yeah. Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I'm done.